Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I am delighted to have Ryan D back on because I cannot wait to hear what he's got to say about this. I've listened to so many other commentators. Many of you have been riveted by Candace's coverage. She's getting hundreds of thousands watching her lives and watching the videos of Charlie Kirk in his 20s, dancing to Power, wearing his Kanye sneakers. He just struck me as very naive and idealistic. And then he had a wake-up moment. And next thing, he's no longer with us. So yeah. I'm sure Ryan's going to get into some of the forces that were at work. And, you know, this change of heart that Charlie Kirk had on certain geopolitical issues. But thank you for coming on, man. And I hope your eyes are doing okay.
Well, yeah, I found a way to mitigate the symptoms, but unfortunately it requires getting a needle through the eyeball every 3 months. Not fun. But anybody else that has wet macular degeneration, there is some promising research in stem cells coming about. So hopefully we can all use that. Good. We'll see. Yeah.
So when you saw the news then of the assassination, what were your initial thoughts?
I was like, well, he's dead. They had not announced it, but I don't need the authorities to tell me that when I see blood flying out the neck at that pace, that there's no way he survived that. And then I was thinking the ramifications because I, unfortunately, like rather than taking a moment to just digest the fact that somebody, whether you agreed with him or not, was there trying to have dialogue and talk to people about his ideas and they just use violence to silence him. But I knew immediately what everyone was going to do is they're going to try and blame it on their political enemies. So you see the left saying, I bet the shooter's MAGA. You see the right saying, I bet it's some crazy leftist. Of course, people every time are going to come out and blame guns who hate guns. Then you got the anti-pharma people are going to say it's SSRI. It's like it might be one of these things. The thing is they go on autopilot and they start blaming the faction without any evidence at all, just because that's, they use someone's death as a way to as a club to beat their enemies with. I was saying, you know, he had a lot of enemies. Let's figure out who did it. You know, was it one person, two people? What was it? Let's figure it out. My first thought was to quote Andrew Tate, you know, an F on the roof, because that's the most likely. And I know there's Candace and some others think Israel killed him. But it would still be an F on the roof because, and I'll tell you that why. And I think after I say this, people who think Israel did it will still agree. First of all, the Israelis don't usually shoot someone at a school. They would just blow up the whole school. That's what they do. They just kill everybody. But okay, it's in America. So let's say they were going to do that. They would never put a Mossad agent on the roof and risk that. They would always farm that out to an expendable. So if they were going to kill him, they would radicalize some tranny or something like that and have them do it so that if they're caught, it all falls on them and not and doesn't go back to the Israelis. These are professional. Now, they'll assassinate people in Qatar, Yemen, whatever. They'll just do it. I mean, they shoot people gathering food on film and don't care, and they have no consequence. But if you were to kill Donald Trump's like darling boy, in America, in Utah, you have to farm that out to a local group. It is just not worth the risk to reward ratio to have an Israeli or anybody has any connection to Israel there with a gun. And there are plenty of people who hated Charlie Kirk who you could farm that out to. So the shooter is going to be someone else, regardless. Now it could also have nothing to do with Israel. It could just be, you know, these groups hated him and they shot him. And we saw Antifa and Transtifa go around and, you know, loot and burn. And basically during the Biden and Trump administration, go around, they annex a piece of Seattle for like a whole summer, setting car lots on fire in Kenosha, the George Floyd riots, the Ferguson riots. And they set a church on fire in DC and nothing ever happened. So these people are violent. They have killed people in the past. They tried to kill Kyle Rittenhouse. It didn't work well for him that time. Two of them got killed. One got disarmed. So it's not like there's not a large plethora of people that as soon as Kirk was going back to campus after Trump won, they were going to get him. And you can't just dismiss that. I mean, it's not always, not every assassination is JFK. Sometimes it's just an F on the roof. That's all. And there's a lot of evidence that Tyler Robinson, I mean, he's seen with the gun. He's on film leaving the roof. His own parents turned him in. It does fit with the forensic evidence. He is definitely shot, you know, in the neck, on the left side of his neck. It's on film. You can see the blood flying out of the hole. There doesn't seem to be an exit wound, which means the bullet just went down into his body because it's from above, probably hit his shoulder blade or spine. And that'll come out in the autopsy. And these people who think he shot from behind and all this stuff, there's no entry wound. And he did not have an earpiece fly out. That's actually his cross necklace that flew off his head because it got hit. It was on his neck, so it got hit. And he does his last gasp, and it kind of flew off his head. But you're not going to get his wife to go along with it and lie with a pathologist and have some conspiracy to hide a shot from behind. And it's really stupid to do a shot from behind. If you're Patsy, if you have a Patsy and he's shooting from the front, then you cannot shoot him from the back. Because if you don't hit his neck, if you hit his head, you hit his shoulder, you hit anything other than the fleshy neck, you're going to have a massive exit wound come out of his face or whatever, and everyone's going to know the bullet was from behind. And I brought this up, and the people pushing this baloney were like, oh, well, maybe it was like a robot that can shoot dragonflies from a distance. They just would not let go of this stupid theory. I'm like, man, it's on film. He shot from the front, boom. There's no entry wounds on the back. We have film of the back of his head and stuff. There's nothing there. It was the guy on the roof is who shot him. Now, there may have been another shooter around that just never took a shot, you know, whatever. It does seem to be somebody running interference on the ground. There was a man that was like, I did it, and got arrested. And he later got caught for, I don't know how to say this on YouTube. He got caught for
inappropriate pictures of kids on his phone.
Inappropriate pictures of youngins. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, what a piece of the other thing people are doubting is like, well, these text messages seem like fabricated. They are and they aren't. What that was is once he knew that he couldn't retrieve the weapon and that his pictures were up, you know, the surveillance footage had him, and his parents were already calling his phone and they're going to ask, hey, where's grandpa's gun? Where are you? Hey, these photos certainly look like you. We know you hated Charlie. He knew he was cooked and he knows there's going to be prints on the gun, and he knows it. So what he did is he wrote a very self-incriminating message to his boyfriend to make it seem like, oh, I'm sorry, you knew nothing about this. It was all me. He took all the heat because he was already caught. But I think that group absolutely knew, and it does seem to be they have about 20 other accessory suspects, that Lance Twigg and some of these other people, somebody definitely knew, because they put out a song called Charlie Kirk Dead at 31 on Spotify long before he was shot. There were a lot of messages, and I collected some of them, of people saying, tomorrow, just wait. I hope Charlie Kirk gets dissolved. And then they replied to themselves saying, there's going to be something very big happening to Charlie Kirk tomorrow. They were hinting at it. They just couldn't help themselves. And now all these accounts on Twitter deleted their stuff and tried to erase their paper trail. But that wasn't Tyler going around making all those messages. Somebody in this Trantifa, as we call it, the trans Antifa, this clique prepared, planned, and knew about this. But it was only Tyler that seemed to actually do it. But, you know, who were the other Confederates? That's what we're going to have to find out. Now, I did dig through his boyfriend. He had two boyfriends, actually. I dug through their social media before it got purged. And a lot of it is like on subreddits and stuff, if you want to count that as social media. Discord messages, which we got from moles inside their group. And video game chats. They were like perpetually online. So his main guy that everybody knows about is Lance Twiggs. He went around by Lance a lot and Twink and a whole bunch of other things. And playing video games for like 1,300 hours, like crazy amounts of gaming. So you had a transgender video game addict. And the other guy was a, I don't know, I've got to be careful, furry cub. You know what a cub is? So a baby bear.
I'm familiar with the furries. I'm familiar with the furries.
Right. So just imagine a furry, underage furries. There you go. Mm-hmm. So they have words for these things. So underage, homosexual, furry, erotic artwork. I'll let people try and figure out that. You can figure out that what that's what they're into. His Steam account, which is like a video game thing. It's mostly normal games, but apparently you can get like erotic games. And he had a like 50 Shades of Gay furry interactive game on there. And he liked one of the messages on the bullets was like about bulges and stuff and OWO, which is a picture of a face with like a animal's mouth, whatever. So these people are just dysgenic, degenerate weirdos that were perpetually online. And you can see that would be the type that would want to kill Charlie Kirk all on their own. Now, did they get a little encouragement? I'll talk about the kind of Max Blumenthal, Candace Owens line in a second, but I'll give you actual evidence first. There is a report from a neighbor of a bunch of out-of-state license-plated cars visiting them in Utah. I'll say this, Utah is pretty far from everything else. You know, maybe Arizona, you got to drive to get there. It's not like in the East Coast where, you know, in the Northeast states are pretty close. You can get from New Jersey to New York, no problem. But going to Utah, you got to cross a bit. And to get more than two states there is a little odd. Now, those could still be just an Antifa network, but it could also be worse. But again, I don't think the Israelis are going to get anywhere near the shooter. They're going to use... If they were going to be involved, they would use cutouts. This is what they always do, unless they do it in the Middle East where there's no consequence. You can't do that in America. Like when they were assisting Al-Qaeda, they used cutouts and they spied on DEA groups and things. So there's a few layers before they got to the hijackers. People don't know that story. I got a huge movie dropping October 7th. Total coincidence that is October 7th, but is coming out October 7th on Substack, ryandawson.org, all about 9/11. But yeah, so then you get these claims from Tucker and Candace's stuff saying, well, Charlie Kirk had been a hardcore Zionist his whole life and everything he ever said and did. But secretly, you know, in messages to me, he was about to 180 on them and start going against them. And my counterpoint to that is, Charlie Kirk was a professional con artist who told you what you wanted to hear. He goes, yes, he told you that, Tucker. Of course he told you that, Candace. And then he turned around and he told his Zionist buddies what they wanted to hear because they're not hearing any pushback. Now, he did get the third degree from Bill Ackman. That's true. And that was because they made a huge mistake a few months ago. He had a TPUSA event in Florida, I think it was. And they let Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson, and Dave Smith on the stage. And you have to understand, up until this point, Tucker had never been anti-Israel. He had been like, well, I don't see why we don't put America above Israel. He's like, oh, I like Israel. I think they're an ally. Oh, that's what he was saying very recently, like to Ted Cruz and stuff. He was saying, I just don't see why we put their interests above our own. Kind of that, you know, just asking questions, bro. But he waited till that TPUSA event to just come out with it. I mean, like Epstein was Mossad. Blah, blah, blah. They had no idea he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. Then the Dave Smith was supposed to debate, I think, Josh Hammer which they thought Hammer would win, and he didn't. And they're like, well, Dave Smith's just a comedian. He had a really horrible debate with Doug Murray where he kind of got wiped. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how smart you are. The Israeli position is totally indefensible. I mean, they're just dropping bombs on school kids. Like, you can't, there is no argument for that. So, and the crowd was cheering. And Netanyahu's been on full panic mode because everybody under 30, even on the right, even on like the Christian evangelical right, they don't like what Israel is doing. And Charlie Kirk found a way around his Zionist Christian brainwashing to say, well, the Bible says to support the nation of Israel. That doesn't mean the government of Israel. It just means like, oh, they ought to exist, but Netanyahu's not the guy. So he might have maybe started to turn a little. His donors, one of his major Jewish donors pulled out. He still had about $40 million from Jewish donors, though. Like, they told him what to do and everything to say. He never actually said anything against them. And what people have done is they're taking videos that are spread apart by years and clipping it. Like, there's one with him on Patrick Starr of David saying, was there a stand down order on October 7th? This is a question we ought to ask. But that video is not recent. And there's another one with Ben Shapiro where they've clipped it where Charlie's asking Ben questions that you or I would ask, like, there's an ethnic cleansing in Gaza. It sounds pretty good. But if you watch the entirety of the video where he's saying, like, Jews own the media and stuff like that, which is such a canard. That's not what people are saying. But what he's really doing is he's asking Ben, what do you say when somebody says Gaza's ethnic cleansing, or somebody says there's disproportionate media control? He's not agreeing with that position. He's saying, help me develop a better answer for when I'm challenged on these points. That's what he's doing. So he wasn't against them at all. So, and then they say, well, he turned down $150 million from Netanyahu. That's not clear that that's true at all. First off, TPUSA is a nonprofit organization in the United States. They cannot take millions of dollars from the foreign head of a foreign state. That money would have to go through American citizens like Ackman or something. Now, Israel could launder the money and give it to a guy who gives it to a guy who gives it to TPUSA, and they definitely do that. But that's not the claim. The claim was Netanyahu was going to give him $150 million. I'm like, no, he wasn't. And so I don't trust the source on that. And I know the Gray Zone picked up on that, and the Gray Zone usually has very good reporting. But they do have a bit of an anti-Israel bias, which I don't mind. Like, Israel is the Antichrist. But you have to get specifics. And it's, I don't think he were really offering him $150 million personally from the prime minister just because he's not that stupid. Like, he wouldn't be able to accept it. And I think in the future, even when people are getting money from Miriam Adelson or Bill Ackman or Michael Dell or any of these prominent hardcore Zionists, David Horowitz, who is Charlie Kirk's mentor, for example, no one's going to listen to him. They're like, you're taking money from the Jewish billionaire class or AIPAC or UDP or whatever. And so you're bought and paid for. And that's that. And Charlie was kind of running up against that wall where he's 31 and everybody under 30 not only doesn't like Israel, they despise them. And this is global. Like, it was 151-2 in the last UN, you know, resolution against Israel. The whole world is against them. And in the United States, they've lost the Democrats completely. I know when Biden was president, he gave them everything they wanted, but his base didn't like that at all. And then he was Genocide Joe. And the Republicans, the same thing. They're very divided in the United States. There's the like actual MAGA and the people who want to put American interests first and Israel's interests not second, just not at all. Like, why are you helping them murder people? And then you have, you're like a small sect of Protestant Christians that are just do or die, you know, Old Testament literalists, you know, that think they have to bless Israel, the Ted Cruz types of guys. And a lot of them is not sure if they really have some brainwashed religious belief or they're just blackmailed by Epstein because there's such an overlap. You can't really tell which is which. And that's the other big thing that on September 10th, when Charlie was murdered, the Senate blocked releasing those files 51 to 49. So close. Now, Rand Paul and one other of the Republicans voted to release them. Everyone else, no. And that's just why. That's pathetic. But then I ask, why didn't the Democrats do that when Biden was president? And they didn't. They knew it would fail. That's why they had to vote, so they can look like they're trying to do something, knowing they can force the Republicans to block it and make them look bad. But had it been the other way around, they would have blocked it, because they're all on that list. Bill Ackman included, like through his wife, donated MIT for Epstein and took gifts from him and everything. My notebook's out of reach, but like, they're all on that list, man. They're all on it.
Yeah, I remember when Bill Ackman sold short Herbalife, because I followed the career of Carl Icahn.
And, yeah, what a con artist in his derivative scams.
Yeah, Bill Ackman lost $1 billion shorting Herbalife because Carl Icahn came in, took a stake, and they kept the shares high, and he was squeezed out. But that was nothing. He lost a couple of billion on another short sale as well. This guy's got so much money on the management.
Yeah, I'm wondering how he got his wealth, because he's constantly making bad decisions. And they kind of asked, like, where, how did you come about this wealth? And he tried on Twitter, like, well, I did. And, like, he couldn't explain it. Like, I think you're just subsidized by the Israeli state. That's what I think. But I don't know. He keeps making horrible decisions. And Carl Icahn, too, finally got in trouble. Like, I don't want to explain that whole thing, but he was scamming people. He had a very, like, clever system, though, for a little while.
All right. Up to him. We've got 1,500 watching live. We've just opened up on Charlie Kirk. I'm going to put Ryan's X and his store. I would urge people to support his work by getting stuff from the store. We've got loads of stuff here, even stuff for baby Ziggy, Ryan Dawson, yeah. University clothes.
He's probably outgrown that.
yeah, he's getting big.
He's going fast. But,
if you've got any questions for Ryan while we're live, get them in the live chat now, and I'll star them. But I was watching a David Icke video on this, and what he mm-hmm. said was, here in the UK, they are using the right, what they're calling the far right, which is just normal people protesting against the government.
Yeah, usually. Far right just means like, like they're two genders, yeah.
They're using the far right, that's what they're calling them, to take away freedom of speech. And in America, they're blaming the left to take away free speech. But the agenda is exactly the same. They are both eroding free speech at the same time. And they're accelerating this on the back of what's happened to Charlie Kirk in America. Do you concur with that? We saw the comedian got took off the earth, etc. Because I know you believe in freedom of speech. And
yeah, I don't believe in canceling people. I'm not sure that that's what happened to Jimmy Kimmel. I think Disney bought more of ABC and decided to get rid of him. And then everyone's like, oh, it's because of what he said about Trump. He's always said stuff about Trump. He said that through his whole first administration and whatever, 80 weeks of this one. And then finally, oh, but you could say, well, they didn't do anything until after Kirk's death. And they decided to start firing people. Steve Colbert's gone. Jimmy Kimmel's gone. And some of these leftists that were celebrating a guy's death got fired from their positions and stuff. That's exactly what happened to the right. I mean, it not only, not even for celebrating death, but for like saying, you know, anything against the Fauci narrative about the, you know, the Mexican beer, you could lose your social media and get fired. So the left did this for years and years. They canceled people and just called it hate speech, misinformation, whatever. They cancel. And so the argument is, do two wrongs make a right? Now, the best argument, and I don't agree with this, but the best argument for that is, well, the leftists have its thumb on the scale for so long that you need to cancel a bunch of them to balance it out. But that's not what will happen. They'll just use it. It's like blasphemy laws. Like, they're just going to go after their political enemies, canceling more and more people. And then they're not going to stop. They're going to keep their thumb on the scale for their side. And it's really sad because, and I was not someone that agreed with Charlie Kirk. He was a hardcore Zionist, made jokes about dead Palestinians and stuff, but he was not a racist. He was a religious bigot, but he was not a racist, and he was not for censorship. He genuinely went to talk to people. He actually died trying to have dialogue with the other side at a university. and did not believe in canceling, did not believe in censorship. He believed in debate and dialogue, which is a very American thing and a good thing I can say about him. He genuinely believed in free speech, and they're using his death to get rid of free speech, which I think his wife should come out against. You know, right now, she's got superhero level, like her power right now. If she says something, everybody's listening. That's Charlie Kirk's wife. That's a widow of a murdered man. And if she's like, I don't want to cancel people, they'd have to listen if she were to use her power. And I know you want to cancel leftists and stuff. And I understand the argument of, well, they're freely allowed to organize and be vitriol and hateful. Because in their mind, they think they're fighting fascists. But I would say the counterpoint to that is you don't need to cancel that. You need to stop canceling the right. If the right had been allowed to speak, if people like me had been on Twitter years ago, I wasn't allowed, or, you know, Instagram, Facebook, if people on our side were allowed to talk, they wouldn't have reached that point. I hear over and over people are like, well, Charlie Kirk hated black people. So I'm like, what are you talking about? He was against DEI. That's not racist. That is a normal conservative position to say you ought to hire based on merit, not based on color. And I know the arguments back and forth in DEI, but you ought to be able to have an adult discussion about that without just labeling your opponent racist because they don't agree with you. And that's exactly what they would do. And in doing so, that is a cancelable offense. Like if you call someone racist or the N-word, like the German N-word, then they're canceled. So it was impossible to have a discussion about anything because the left just calls everybody a racist, sexist, anything, because they know that gets them removed. And it doesn't matter how popular or how big the channel is, if they accuse you of hate speech, you're out. So the left has this superpower. They could get rid of all their political opponents by just calling them fascists. They even made a group called anti-fascist. That's what Antifa is. That could go around acting like fascists, you know, canceling free speech, getting books removed from Amazon, and physically attacking and burning properties, stealing and doing bodily harm to people. That's already against the law. And because of the DAs and the George Soros funded systems there, nothing was done. They get arrested, they get out the same day. They wouldn't stay in jail. They had what they call the black block and the red block. So some would go and do crimes and the rest would bail them out. Somebody commit a crime and then do a crowdfunding and become a millionaire. It's disgusting. And they sent hundreds of thousands of dollars to people who have murdered other people because they, in the name of like fighting racism. And I'll make it really clear to listeners in the UK and stuff, Black Lives Matter is in title only. It has nothing to do with black lives or fighting racism. And Antifa has nothing to do with fighting fascism. It's just a clever name to, you know, you attach yourself to some do-gooder facade so you can be violent. That's all it is. They are just violent gangs. It's like the Free Syrian Army. They were terrorists. They're not about freedom or any of that. Just in the name. Kind of like freedom fighters, which, you know, the other name for it is Al-Qaeda.
All right, we've got lots of questions coming in, and good debate going in the chat, keeping the freedom of speech going. All right, so Uncle Ted wants to know about the on the run dissembling and reassembling the rifle.
Yeah, I love the name Uncle Ted, if that is reference to Ted Kaczynski. He called it all. It doesn't take much time. It depends on which kind of Mauser it is. They said it was a Mauser 98, but there's a Mauser 98K that takes about 1 to 2 seconds to flip. You push a button, flip the stock, and then you straighten the stock. That's how long it is. And then you fit it in the bag. And it is in the bag. Otherwise, why even bring a book bag? If the gun doesn't fit in the bag, what's the point in having the bag? Just for the towel? Come on. Like, there's a video of like some Marine online, like, I got to unscrew this and this and this and this. I'm like, that's not even the right gun. Like, this is so dumb. It depends, and they wouldn't tell you what kind of, there's many kinds of Mausers. But people are like, oh, it didn't have a foldable stock because I saw the picture. What do you mean the picture? If you mean the picture the New York Post put out just so they could be first, that was a stock photo from their archive. It's not even the actual gun. They just put a picture up of a generic Mauser as a guess. And it's not clear that that is the right kind of gun it is the right class of gun, but it's not specifically which kind of Mauser it was. And it's just kind of common sense. Like, well, if you were going to use a Mauser to shoot Carly Kirk and they have foldable stock options, then you would get the one that has a foldable stock. And how long does that take? About 2 seconds. You push the button and you fold it. That's all. You don't have to take the old gun apart. You just have to move the part, the stock's the part that's here, right? If that folds, now it fits in your book bag or backpack. Not a problem. It's not clear that it was reassembled either. They just assume it was because they saw the picture from the New York Post with it assembled. But they didn't say it was assembled. They just said they found the gun wrapped in a towel in the woods. It may have been folded. It may have been unfolded. Because if it's a Mauser 98K, it takes about 1 second to unfold it. Now, if it was a Mauser 98G, then it takes about 35 seconds to a minute. If you'd practice it, you get faster, obviously. And there was a screwdriver. Not sure if he needed the screwdriver to disassemble the gun or if that's what he was carving messages with or whatever. Nobody knows. But that'll come out in the trial. But to hinge like, oh, it's impossible for somebody to disassemble, reassemble a gun. He doesn't have to reassemble it. All he has to do is disassemble it. And then he can just leave it in the woods. So that you can't base that on the picture from the New York Post. The New York Post, and this was in Twitter community notes and stuff, like that is an old image that they had used before in a prior story of a Mauser. So that's not the gun.
All right. It's from Dr. Nick. Why would he be so careful about prints, but then just fesses up to his boyfriend? That is filled with police jargon. I've read better fiction in Daniel Steele novels.
Yeah, I kind of explained that earlier. What he was doing was he knew he was cooked because he couldn't retrieve his gun. His face is on the surveillance, and his parents are already calling his phone, which he had not answered. He knows they're going to ask, hey, where's the gun, which he doesn't have. So he's going to have to say, oh, yeah, there's a shooting of a guy who I can't stand, and I don't have a gun anymore. So what he was doing is he was writing a very detailed self-incriminating note to take all the blame himself and to be like, I'm sorry to involve you guys didn't know about this at all, right? You know, so that his whole network is now safe and he becomes the sole fall guy.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi there, my name is Annie Elise, aka your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
And they're very, right. Was it you? They're asking stupid questions. They know it's him because they had all these messages and stuff before the shooting saying it's all going down tomorrow and everything. They had all that up. So the message is written in a way to do damage control, to save his lover and the lover he lived with from being implicated. That's what I think.
Barbara wants to know what we know about his experience shooting, training to become such a crack shot.
It's not really a crack shot. 150 to 200 yard shot with a bolt action Mauser is you don't have to be trained to do that. It would certainly help you. And it looks like he probably was trying to shoot him in the head and missed a little and hit him in the neck. He was not aiming at the neck. Like, oh, what a shot. Hit him in the neck like that. Like, I doubt that. So he was either aiming at the heart and went high, or he's aiming at his head and went low. So, but to hit a 6'5" guy, even though he's sitting down at that distance, is not impressive. Like, children can do that. American kids can anyway. Like, if you've been hunting and all, which he had, you can hit that. It's even with a cold barrel, which can bring it up. It wasn't like super windy. There was no like fog or anything, just a straight shot on somebody sitting still, relatively still. He did lean forward a little bit as he was like putting the mic down and lean up, and that might have made it come, you know, off a little bit, but it's not like you need to be a Marine or a sharpshooter to hit that with a scope at that distance. Now, if he didn't have a scope and he made that shot, I would be very impressed. But a scope rifle, if he iron sighted that would take some training. But if you do it with a scope, it's not that impressive.
All right, we've got 2,000 watching live. I'm putting Ryan's links in the live chat.
I could hit that shot, and I got a messed up eye.
There's Ryan's ex. There's his store. And you can also watch the previous episode we did with him on the Epstein cover-up.
By the way, I'm not – that's not – like, I was just in America in August and taking similar shots, and I could still hit things at 150 yards, even though they look all distorted.
All right, so we are live with Ryan. Please keep your questions coming in the chat. We're enjoying this on this Sunday afternoon here in the UK. Crisp, do you think it was a local group or nationwide?
Well, the nationwide groups have local chapters. So the way Antifa works, I'm pretty convinced that during the Biden and Obama regime, they had FBI assistance, COINTELPRO style. There was something called Arctic Wind and Arctic Frost. Arctic Frost was targeting, it was like 92 different conservative organizations or individuals, and Kirk was one of those. And this is from the FBI. And just like I explained about the Israelis, the FBI does the same thing. They outsource to fanatics who are expendable. Traditionally, that was organized crime. But increasingly, it's just, you know, nihilistic transgender or loner types that you see over and over again in school shootings seem to have been encouraged to do this. They're extremely narcissistic. Most of the time, they have a manifesto, and it's a weird modern thing where these delusional, narcissistic, nihilistic asswipes get in there and be like, yo, chat, hey, chat, guess what? Like they're the main character on their little Discord server or whatever they're using, where they live stream on their Twitch or Kick or whatever. Kick is horrible about this. They're always essentially enabling people to monetize committing crimes, usually not murder, but nuisance streamers and assault, harassment, theft, and Kick just pays them. Kick ought to be banned everywhere, but they live in this world. And I was talking to Douglas Mallow. He's the guy that stopped Rajah Jackson from killing Psycho Stew at a wrestling event. It was a Rampage. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but I was talking to him about it. And he had an interesting two cents on this. And he said, the more someone's real life, it just sucks. Like the more of a side character they are, the more drawn to the virtual world they are, where they're the center of attention and they have a chat and they have an audience. And it doesn't even matter if it's like 20 people, 200 or 2,000 or whatever. These young generation like live for their avatar online. And increasingly, and a lot of young girls get sucked in this too. Like they get all this attention on Instagram because they're using filters and editing photo. It doesn't look like them at all, but they're getting dopamine hits from likes or thumb up. Well, I don't have an Instagram, I'm banned, but like whatever it is, the harder thumb or whatever, they get all this attention, and it's they don't even realize that ain't you. That's you with a filter and edits and this and this and this and this, and people are just creating avatars. And so in their little world, which is, you know, you get to choose what's presented to people, they're the main character in their own fictional story. And he saw that with Rajah Jackson too. He's like, I ain't no B word. I'll show you. And he was getting rage baited by 12-year-old strangers in his live chat, which is so ridiculous to adults. But a lot of these kids, that's their whole world. And so his little Discord cult of furries and trannies and dysgenic weirdos, that is all that mattered to him. We saw this one other time with the Australian guy that shot people in a mosque in New Zealand. And I don't want to say his name because I don't like adding to their infamy. So I'm just going to call him that guy who shot people in a mosque. And he had like Pepe memes, and he mentioned PewDiePie. He actually mentioned Candace Owens. And these are just like random attention seeking things to say. They have nothing to do with each other. And obviously PewDiePie and Candace had nothing to do with the shooting, and Pepe's a cartoon. So whatever, but they just put, they write weird stuff on the gun. There's a tranny that shot up a Catholic school that had a wide range of stuff, even some anti-Israel stuff, white power stuff. It's just, they'll just say whatever is the most non-normative hated thing so that they can get attention. And the things can be contradictory, and it doesn't matter. They'll say both, because it's whatever gets a rise out of people, whatever, it's rage baiting is what they call it. And it's nihilism. And you can profile these people. They're usually like 20 to 22. It's not even a large age range, where they've finished school. Like while they're in school, they think, my goal is, well, I'll finish school. But once, if they don't have anything else after that, they got to enter the what they call the real world, because school is not the real world. They don't see a future, and they just don't care, and they feel like the only way to bring significance is to murder somebody who does have significance, or murder a bunch of innocent people, which will shock people, and their death will be known, and they will matter for 2 seconds. Because they're not even shooting. In this case, he shot somebody he hated. But in a lot of these mass shootings, they're just shooting random people at a school. They might not even go to that school. Random people in a church, random people at a movie theater. They're just murdering people. And it's a weird sickness. It's kind of, serial killers are gone, and they've been replaced by mass shooters. And it's something I would like to like really dive into that psychology and figure out what it is that is driving these people. They seem to be male of a certain age, and recently, disproportionately, a lot of them have been transitioning. And I would blame that on like, yeah, well, if you mess with someone's hormones and you're in effectively their brain, and it comes from a community that is built around being attracted to non-normative values and denying reality, then they're mentally ill. But you're not, you won't say they're mentally ill. They definitely are. Like, if you don't know the difference between a man and woman, you're screwed up. But they're like, oh no, they're catering to mental illness, and you shouldn't do that. If someone gets up on a microphone and is like, I'm a cat, and you sit there and go, you're not a cat, you're a person. A person has this many chromosomes, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, you're an idiot for arguing with them. It's just, you're not a cat, get off the stage, fire hose. You know, like, you don't need to argue with people about what bathroom to pee in and stuff. But these Zionists do this. They want you to argue about what's a woman. That was Charlie Kirk's most popular video, 20 million views, arguing about what's a woman. A woman is someone with XX chromosomes, done. So I don't need to argue any further. They confuse the difference between male and female with masculine and feminine. Masculine and feminine are social constructs that probably are also tied to biology. But it's like, we decide, you know, dress or pants, pink or blue, all that stuff's just things we made up. But it doesn't matter. You could be a masculine woman. You could be an effeminate man. But if you have a penis, you're a guy. If you don't, you're a girl. That's that simple. But they want to argue incessantly about stuff that really doesn't matter. So you don't have to talk about foreign policy. You don't have to talk about the $35 trillion debt. You don't have to talk about not enforcing antitrust laws, online censorship, all that. Instead, they talk about identity politics forever. DEI, what's a woman? I just want to throw up in a bucket. I call it idiot ping pong, because you've got this hardcore Christian Zionist arguing with people like, so one side thinks a man can be a woman, the other thinks there's a virgin birth. It's just two religions arguing with each other about the fantasies.
All right, next question. So
how can you appeal to science and be like, oh, it's like this, like, don't you have a virgin birth and coming back from the dead and all that? Like, it's fine if that's what you believe, but you can no longer use science as an argument.
Was Tyler PSYOP manipulated through a radical group who was greenlit by a free letter agency? Is that what you are implying?
I think that's very probable. he's definitely radicalized. Whether he can, and it seemed to be pretty rapid. Like, basically, when he went to college, he fell apart. And I think there's also a problem. Like, I don't have a problem in general with playing video games, but when people play them 10 hours a day, that's a problem. Even if it's not video games, if you are perpetually online doing whatever, you know, games, porn, just rage baiting on Reddit all day or whatever, you're not engaged with real people in the real world enough. There, it's a slanted, distorted reality. And I can't imagine day after day after day, even in a game, if you're playing first person shooter, just shooting stuff all day. Maybe 90% of people would be able to just, you know, okay, that's in the game, this is real life. But there's going to be a portion of people that get desensitized to violence if they just engage in it all the time. And the same thing with pornography. Like, it goes from heteronormative to bi, gay, bestiality, furry, little kids, and worse and worse and worse. It doesn't seem like someone just woke up one day is like, oh, I want to see an 8-year-old with a rod rammed up his anus or whatever. It's like, how did you get to that point? There has to be an in between, right? I hope there's I hope it's gradual. I hope you don't just show up like that. But it seems to be the case. And people are perpetually online. They get addicted to gaming and porn, and sometimes pornographic gaming, and sometimes other things. But those are the main two culprits. And they just aren't living in the real world. And then you add the censorship where no one's allowed to say to them, hey, wake up. Like, that isn't true. And no, everyone is not after you. And Charlie Kirk is not he's not Hitler. Like, he's not a fascist. They're not trying to, you know, put women in the kitchen or whatever they think. That's not what they was doing. And I listened to many, many, many hours of Charlie Kirk. Like, he was definitely not racist. He actually thought race was a social construct. I don't think that's true either, but I agree with not being racist. I do agree that races exist, though. He made solid arguments about, you know, the things he was talking about, except for Israel, which makes you think he must have been smart enough to know better. But he just said it anyway, because all his major donors were Zionists. David Horowitz is the guy that took him under his wing and created TPUSA with him. And he is a super hardcore Zionist. And then another bit of evidence to go against the Blumenthal and Candace argument that he was about to turn on him is his last scheduled interview is with Joy, Vance, he's a prominent black Zionist, and they're going to talk about racial stuff. And it's just like, oh, I could see what they're doing. There was this recent horrible killing on a bus where a black guy killed a Ukrainian refugee, just stabbed her in the neck, and like, there was no point in it. And so they were going to build off of that to talk about racial violence and this, da, 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 da. But which is fine as a topic you ought to talk about. But again, it's just, Charlie, everyone's mad about you supporting the genocide in Gaza. So they will talk about anything else to try and get young voters back into the Republican Party and say, oh, we're going to go after this and that. The problem with that was, like, the guy may have been motivated by race. He might have been a racist and he killed a white girl. Maybe not. Maybe he's just crazy, whatever. But he had 14 priors. He never should have been let out of a cage. The judge was appointed, never passed the bar. Like, you got to clean up these judges. The whole system needs to be cleaned up. You can't just keep reacting to the symptoms. You have to look at, like, how did that guy get out of jail that many times? It never should have happened. And it was tragic. It made me, I didn't know her or anything. It just made me extremely sad. The fact that she's there, she's dying, and everyone just ignores her. She's like crying alone and then bled on the floor in a bus and people just walk by. Like, I just don't understand the cold heartedness of that at all. But that was what they were going to focus on. And, you know, maybe that's a fun, if, you know, it's a perfectly valid topic to talk about. But for Charlie, he consistently would get whatever was spectacle type of topics, race, sex, and gender arguments, like that identity politics, and nothing else. Like, those things are important, but it only takes like 1 minute to explain them, and that's all you need if you're talking to adults. And so playing idiot ping pong with screened and selected college kids was a bunch of theater. And you'd see Benicide Shapiro do it, Jordan Peterson do it, Matt Walsh did. They flogged that woman thing to death. Like, what's a woman? They made a movie. It's like an hour-long movie, and what's a woman? How could you possibly talk about that for an hour? Well, they did. And a lot of, like, Benicide Shapiro's fans are only his fans because the only things they've seen is him arguing with sometimes high school kids, not even college, about identity politics. Meanwhile, he engages in identity politics. He is a Jew, and he is a Zionist, and he's sitting there with a little kippah on his head and, like, believes in the Torah and all this stuff. And like, oh, yeah, you're going to use scientific arguments about climate change and polygenderism while you think the Earth was made in 6 days and Samson had magic hair and Jonah made the sun stand still and there's a talking donkey and okay, guy, like, you're fighting Amalek. And they do use these biblical stories to justify murdering hundreds of thousands of people in Gaza. That's not like me picking on religious literalists. And this isn't, I'm not even talking about religion. I'm talking about the people that don't take it as allegories and metaphors. They take literally think that Samson had magic hair. That's not the point of the story. That's like reading the Three Little Pigs. And instead of coming to the conclusion, like, the point of that story is hard work pays off. The two pigs that were lazy had their house blown down. The pig that put the work in and built it out of bricks didn't. You're not supposed to actually believe in talking pigs and wolves that have hurricane breath. That's just a fun story. And when you read religious parables, you're not supposed to take it literally. But there are some Schofield weirdos that absolutely take it like it's a history book. And yeah, and that's Benicide. Ben Shapiro is one of those people. And this is a trained lawyer arguing with high school students. Every time he's ever argued with an adult, he's lost and lost bad. He lost really bad. I think it was Neil Ferguson in the UK, that the guy, he just hit the wall there. He lost an argument to Tucker Carlson too. It's just, they just fast talk little kids. I'm like, this is really disgusting. You're like fast talking 15 to 18 year olds, who are nervous and on the mic for the first time. And you're just like, oh yeah. Like, well, what's the 15th Amendment say? Oh, you don't know off the top of your head? Oh, I do. Boom. Ooh, victory dance. Beep, beep, beep. Shut up, dude. I thought about it. The most disgusting thing now is they have like a clock and they're sitting on a table and they have like a circle of people. Like, all right, come at me. We're going to be the South Park did a great thing about the master debater. It's like, you're arguing with children. You already lost. And sometimes the children win. In fact, when Charlie Kirk went to Cambridge, they beat him up pretty bad. he did a little better at Oxford, but and he's lost debates, but they just, those don't go online. They try and suppress those as much as possible. But this is the kind of political discourse we have as adults arguing with children. Say, why don't you have this discussion with an adult? And that's what happened all of once at TPUSA when Josh Hammer had to argue with Dave Smith. And Dave Smith is like, he's on our side and everything, but that's not the guy I would choose to argue our position. Like, he argued with Doug Murray about Palestine, and the best he could come up with is the blockade of potato chips. He didn't bring up cast lead. He didn't bring up pillar of defense. He didn't bring up protective edge. He didn't bring up the March for Peace. He didn't bring up the 2021 massacres. It, like, he had so many layups he could have taken, but he doesn't really know the issue very well. So he's like, what about the blockade? And he let him get away with talking about weapons under every other house and tunnels and da 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 da. Because he's just like, oh, I don't like Hamas and I don't like IDF either. Like, he's not very good at debate and he doesn't know the issue very well. But he's Jewish, so he gets invited to everything because he's like the Jew that is against Zionism. So he got to argue, but he did very well against Josh Hammer because Josh Hammer's even dumber. And so for the first time, you had two adults talk about the issue and Dave mopped the floor with him. It was hilarious. And the TPUSA crowd was on Dave Smith's side. And so good for him. I just wish it had been someone like Norman Finkelstein or somebody who really, really does know this stuff in and out would have done even better, but they never let them talk. So, oh well.
Yeah, Dave Smith did great with Douglas Murray as well. So anyway, you got a question from Psychonaut.
He didn't. He did not. It was about even. Like, Dave had so many slam dunks that he missed in that debate. He got him really good with, "Oh, you've never been there," and like that was funny and all. And he had some points that were pretty good, but it was like, dude, you let Doug get away with a whole bunch of lies that you did not call him out on.
People thought he did well because those people
don't know it either. Like, they're like, the first time they've ever seen anybody get to push back. But it's unfortunate. Like, Dave should not have been in that chair. He's Rogan's friend or whatever. But like, I could list like 50 people off the top of my head who had done a way better job. But they're not Jewish, so they don't get to be in the chair.
Yeah, Finkelstein's good. All right, so Psychonaut wants to know your take on Fuentes. You think he got the call or was always a grifter?
He's always been a grifter. I think he's, for the first time ever, being sincere. He doesn't think it was Israel. That does not make him pro-Israel. That does not mean they're paying him or anything like that. I think he's trying to rebrand himself because this guy is just like an ardent racist that a couple years ago had no problem with genocide at all. In fact, I had a debate with him where he was promoting state genocide. He painted himself in a corner and was promoting state genocide. So it was okay as long as it's not happening to whites. It didn't matter. It happened to American Indians, Palestinians. He didn't care. He's on film saying, Ryan Dawson, he's like a bleeding heart liberal because he's like American Indian. So he like feels sympathy for Palestinians. Oh, I don't care about Indians or Palestinians. Like, he didn't start caring about Palestine until he saw it was useful as a vehicle to bash on Jews. He didn't care. It's not an Israel thing for him. It's a Jewish thing. And they argue incessantly about race realism and why don't you say Zionist? Why don't you say Jew? And like, because it's not accurate. It's not a Jew thing. It is a state thing. Israel is a country, just like North Korea, and it's a shitty country. It is not a byproduct of biology. But the Groyper crowd thinks it is. They think it's a genetic disposition to behave that way. So he's trying to rebrand. I think he's trying to take Owen Scheuer's position at InfoWars, and he'll be working for Alex Jones pretty soon. But as far as getting the call, no. He's probably an FBI informant because he is on film at January 6th telling people to go in the building and stuff. And Baked Alaska was there with him. Baked Alaska already admitted he did it to stay out of jail. And you think, like, would Fuentes turn on Proud Boys and Ram and stuff to save his own ass? Yes, absolutely. He's got no principles. He will throw his best friend under the bus if it saves his own ass. So that guy is a total narcissistic ass clown who is a ardent racist the majority of his life, who's trying to rebrand himself and act like, oh no, that's just false things they say, because they call everybody anti-Semitic. I get called that. Everybody gets called that. Like, but in his case, it was true for once. And so he's trying to weasel his way in and be like, oh yeah, I was just falsely accused like everyone else. They banned all my stuff. And he lies to people. He says he's on a no-fly list. He is not. He got thrown off a plane because he was getting uppity with a stewardess. He acts like his banks were canceled. That's not true. They said he froze his money. They temporarily froze $250,000 Bitcoin that he eventually did get and did get to have. So like, half the crap he says about himself isn't true. He's just a fucking grifting perpetual liar, and he attacks other people on the right. He's burned every bridge ever. Everybody he associates with, he turns on him at some point. I'm like, why are you constantly attacking conservatives and constantly attacking other people who can't stand Israel? It doesn't make sense.
So Stop Shadow is saying that there's a connection. Ackman paying the shooter's father $1 million for turning the shooter into this conflict of interest. But let me show you what Ackman has said about this. So Ackman has said, because that doesn't sound correct. Let's see, is that on the screen? Yeah, it is. A number of people have reached out or posted expressing concern that Tyler Robinson's father may collect $1.2 million reward for turning in his son, which inspires a few thoughts. First, in order for rewards to be effective in finding criminals, the rewards need to be paid even if the recipient is a crook or worse. That said, in this case, if Tyler's father is found to be involved, otherwise acted negligently and contributed to Charlie's death, civil litigation or criminal prosecutors will reverse any unjust compensation. I've also seen reports that suggest Tyler's family intends to waive its right to any reward. So yes, we will pay the reward if it is earned to whomever the FBI indicates provided the information that led to Tyler's arrest. I always keep my word. So he's put up the reward, and it might possibly go to Tyler's family. Is that what he's saying?
Tyler's family turned him in before Bill Ackman made a reward. And they already said no to the $100,000 reward from the FBI that was put out immediately. So like they turned in their own son. And so he already rejected $100,000 and didn't even know about the $1 million. And he's probably going to reject the $1 million as well. Because it was, you know, he feels like it's kind of his fault. He raised them as his son. His son shot somebody. He's disassociated from him completely. His dad didn't turn him in for the reward. His dad turned him in because he did it. When he saw the photos of his son, they called him. And his son wasn't answering. And the mother called him. And he was like, oh, I'm sick. I'm at my house. The interesting thing that kind of got brushed under the rug is all the out-of-state license plate cars that were visiting him. Who was that? Why do they know all these people? Is this Antifa Network or are these spooks or what? Is this the FBI COINTELPRO? That's worth looking at. Those are questions worth asking. But to act like, oh, he's just a patsy and his father did it for the reward and rah, 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 rah. Like you guys were trying, they want to believe anything other than what they're told. Like if they're shot from the front with a guy on the roof, then they're like, no, maybe it was this dude with this super small handheld weapon. Maybe it was behind with a smaller caliber, blah, blah, blah. They just don't want to believe the authorities. And I understand why, because they constantly lie about everything else. So everybody's gaslit and they just don't believe anything that is said by the FBI or, you know, especially Cash Patel and these people that are covering up for Epstein. I understand that. I fully get why you wouldn't trust them. But you don't, if you have understanding, you don't need trust. I don't think the footage of him getting shot is fake. Like he was shot in the neck, blood flying out of his neck. It is, it matches everything physically with a shot from the front from 30-06 at that distance. The sound matches, the caliber size matches, it all matches. The gun is correct. Like it, so if you want to start adding stuff, it's like you can start adding things. You start adding a second, third person and a diversion guy and hand signal people, which are actually his own security that are all his other events and do the same signals all the time. You can start adding things. And what happens is it takes like a minute or two to debunk each point and they just move the goalposts 100 times. And you just, it's just like the 9/11 kook movement. You have to spend hours debunking each thing that they say they think. And it's not something they think, it's a video they saw on Twitter. And then they go around and go, you know what I think it skipped off his body armor. Remember, he wasn't wearing body armor. Oh, you know what I think that was an earpiece. We're like, no, that's his cross necklace flying off his head. Oh, you know what I think it's a rear entry wound below his ear. Like, nope, we have video from behind, there's no entry wound on the back and no blood. Well, you know what I think, and it's like, dude, you didn't think of that. You saw videos on Twitter or TikTok and then you repeated them. That is not your thoughts. That is social programming. And when you see that amount of disinformation coming out to kookify the whole issue, they're hiding something else. And I think what they're hiding is the network is Antifa, which is tied to the FBI.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, a.k.a. your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialously. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialously with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialously with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
So you're getting asked whether the FBI announced that the investigation is over?
No, they haven't. Not that I know of.
Because they're still trying to get co-conspirators, aren't they?
They're trying to get co-conspirators. And so what we need is an autopsy report. I would like to find the bullet or the bullet fragments that, because his wife is Catholic and they're morbid and have open casket funerals, she had the body flown to her, and which they have the right to do. I mean, they're mourning and they like to look at the corpse because I don't know, that's what they do. And she made this weird video of her holding his dead hand and stuff. I'm like, why isn't this a private moment? Like, are you really going to film his dead body to get some more donations or whatever? I just don't get it, man. Like, let him rest in peace. Have your moment, film it for yourself if you whatever, but why did that go online? I don't understand for the life of me why you would film that. But They do have to dress up the body and have an open wake and stuff according to their religion. And then they had to fly it around again. But the autopsy should have been done first. And if that bullet's in his body, which it appears to be because there's no exit wound, then it's either, you know, by his spine or shoulder blade or some kind of big bone where it fractured. They have to dig that out. And that would be a lot of cutting. Not going to look good later. But if they cut him in through the back or whatever, I guess they could get at it. But they need to produce the bullet or bullet fragments and prove that it's a .30-06 and matches that gun. They need to prove that. But those things usually take about 4 weeks, and it'll be up to the family to decide whether that's public or not. I hope they will say, yes, the public can see this, to put to rest these ideas of all these other types of guns and bullets and things, because the alternative theories are never going to end. And the reason, and they did this to themselves, like even when they tell the truth, no one will ever believe them because they lied about Corona. You know what that is. They lied about all the wars. They lie about everything. Cash Patel, they're lying about Epstein constantly. So why would you believe them on this? I'm like, yeah, you don't have to. But what has been said makes sense, fits with the evidence so far. And it was predictable. Like, my first thought is, oh, some tranny on the roof. And I end up, you know, a guy dating a tranny on the roof. There is a picture of him with a pink wig and some other stuff, but that's just cross-dressing. That's not transitioning. There is a difference. But, you know, hey, fascist, catch. In their mind, they think they're fighting Hitler. Like, that's how they thought.
On Friday, Ryan, Candace's most recent video on this, she said, you know, she showed the guy taking down the camera, etc. She said she's watched that video now, and there was no blood on from the back view. And you got quite a few people have asked in the chat.
That was online already. That the camera crew is, that's Charlie's camera crew. They're there all. That's his own employee. That it wasn't some guy that came get the. It was a guy that did media with Charlie Kirk. Forgot his name, but they took it down. But there is already footage from behind where he falls. He falls to the left on his side. His hands are in like a T-Rex position. He's still holding the microphone. Never let it go. Just like Shinzo Abe. He fell. Boom. But there's no blood on the back of his head. No entry wound. Nothing like that. Because people are like, he's hit from behind and they think the neck is an exit wound. I'm like, okay, cool theory. What is your evidence? They're like, well, this window looks like it has a flash. Like, you don't think that's a camera flash? Like, they weren't really, like, no one would hear that. Oh, you're going to have a shooter shoot him from behind when there's thousands of people in front of him looking that direction with cameras that direction, and you're going to put your shooter like across from everybody looking at you and taking pictures? That's so stupid. If you're going to shoot him, you want to be behind the crowd, where everyone isn't looking and everyone is not pointing cameras. The only cameras really pointing that way are the ones behind Charlie Kirk, but they were not pointing up toward the roof. They were just pointing straight. But you do see the back of his body, and there is no entry wound on the back. He was hit here at an angle going down. So it went down into his body. Like, I'm going to turn like this, and it'll hit his shoulder blade. And that, you know, Charlie was 6'5". Not like huge, but you know, big, and a .30-06 can go through, but it is, if it went through enough meat and hit bone, it could fragment and tear downward into his body. And, but you know, they have to produce that because the internet is never going to stop until you produce a bullet or bullet fragments or show an exit wound. And there was no exit wound based on video evidence. So that means that bullet's in his body. They need to retrieve it and release that autopsy report, or people are forever going to invent things.
So, Danielle, what happened to the crime scene? Why have they already laid papers over the murder scene? Clearly, yeah, unusual activity. Won't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, unless they already found the bullet in the autopsy, because if you don't have the bullet yet from the autopsy, why in the world would you dig up all the grass and stuff around it where a bullet could be? You have to have that bullet before you can touch the crime scene. And they went and then put in a fountain or memorial or whatever. Like, I understand you want to have it memorialize this guy, but that where he died is a crime scene. And you need to find the bullet before you touch the crime scene. If they already know from the pathologist that they have the bullet, if that's some inside thing they know, but we don't know if they know that or not. So, and it's really stupid to do that knowing the public's going to say, hey, what are you doing? You haven't found the bullet yet. Why are you scraping up all the land? What a dumb decision. You can wait a few weeks before you start building a monument. This should never have happened.
All right.
They contaminated it. Yeah, exactly. They contaminated the crime scene.
We've got almost 3,000 watching now. Please support Ryan and his links. There's his X. There's his store in the chat. And Ryan earlier said then that, you know, the if we think about the traditional infiltration of a group by the feds, you see these documentaries, you know, the neo-Nazis and the feds get in there and encourage this and that.
Yeah,
well, I think what you're saying, Ryan, is we've got a modern day version of this now where these groups are infiltrated through the internet,
right,
and radicalized through the internet, and possibly, you know, a furry group, whatever it was, could have been infiltrated. Now, What would the motive be to have him assassinated? And which three-letter agencies do you think could possibly be involved?
That's what makes this case quite interesting, because if he's radicalized by an agency online, there's so many enemies that he made. So you do have the radical left that really they wanted to get rid of him because he is why Trump won. Like, that is, he did get the youth vote out. He did make a difference, and they want to shut that up, and they want to make other people scared to speak, other conservatives scared to speak on this issue. If he was really going to turn on Israel, which I don't think there's good evidence to say that, but if, you know, if Tucker and Candace have some super secret information and they don't think he was just telling them what they want to hear, that, you know, he was going to at least go against Netanyahu, if not go against Israel, then they have a motive to get rid of him. And they would, Israel would in a second kill anybody they want. So there's another group. Outside of the U.S. and Israel, there isn't really a strong incentive to kill him. Maybe Ukraine, because he did oppose that war and wanted to end that. And, you know, they could get mad enough to do it. But that, you know, that's the weakest one of those three. And I don't see anyone else with any incentive to kill him other than those three groups.
And didn't the shooter have a family member that's fighting in Ukraine or Ukraine?
Yeah, but Charlie opposed the war anyway. Like, he saw that was Biden's fault. You know, he saw it, whether he's sincere or not, he found a way to bash his political opponents. Oh, it never should happen. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead in that war, and Joe Biden's one that started it, not Trump. So that was something he didn't want to go to the war with Iran. And people are like, wow, how could he be such a hardcore Zionist and go against Iran? There are a lot of Zionists that don't want war with Iran. Not because they think it's morally wrong or anything, but because they're afraid they will lose.
What do you think of Candace posting this photo of the shooter supposedly casually in a Dairy Queen 20 minutes after the event?
Yeah, it's it makes it very hard to know whether that's authentic or not, because you can just AI face swap anybody in a Dairy Queen and say it's him. There's a Superman movie.
Remember Maxwell in the In-N-Out Burger, was it?
Yeah, she faked that, and she was across. I said that. I was like, she's on the other side. I told on your show, I said she's in the Northeast. She's married. I knew where she was. She put out this fake photo. That photo, I don't know. Like, there's a Superman advertisement. Wasn't that movie, like, in the U.S. many months ago? Or they still have? Is it Dairy Queen have some Superman-flavored something? Like, why is there a Superman movie poster in the background if this is a modern photo? Maybe they are still advertising Superman. I'm not over there. I don't know. But, like, I thought that was already out of theaters, so I don't know. But that, it's very easy to fake that. Now, if it is him, so what? He went to Dairy Queen after he shot somebody. So why not? They're like, oh, why would you go eat? I'm like, why would you not eat? And what's so bad about that?
Here's an interesting question from Judy. Ryan, will Israel infiltrate the Turning Point Company by installing Ben Shapiro as the new face, or do you think Erica will become the nightly face, as we will see in the future?
I don't know that much about Erica. Like, Charlie did everything. I will say this too, that hurts the Blumenthal Candace argument, is Charlie and his wife shared everything. So if Charlie was about to turn on Israel, his wife would be of the same opinions and would know that Charlie was going to do that. And yet she is still pushing all the Zionism. Now, you could excuse
could
that.
Could she, go, be,
well,
afraid?
She exactly, be afraid? You could excuse that by saying, well, she's afraid they'll get her next or whatever. But I don't think Ben Shapiro, I think he would love to take over Turning Point USA, but it's so on the nose. It's not, like, everyone would reject that. If Ben slid in and said, oh, TPUSA was promised to me 3,000 years ago, or whatever, and he takes over the show, no one's going to watch it. They were like, you guys killed him and replaced him with Ben Shapiro. The problem is that there wasn't a lot of depth on TPUSA. Like, Charlie was the brand. He's not, no one can fill his shoes. So, and Ben already has the Daily Wire. Now, they did do a show. It was like Michael Knowles, who's a simp, Matt Walsh, who just like argues what a woman is, Benicide Shapiro, Jordan Peterson wasn't there, but they had an empty chair for Charlie Kirk. They are trying to hijack his audience. But the Zionists already had TPUSA. I know they were like all these saying his secret message and he was about to turn on them and stuff. But based on what he actually said and did, and his most recent interviews with Megyn Kelly and Ben Shapiro were pro-Zionist. So you can act like, well, maybe he was about to turn on them, but not according to anything he said or actually did. I mean, maybe way down the future. And they were mad at him for the Dave Smith thing and the Tucker thing, but when he invited Tucker, Tucker had not said anything anti-Israel until then. So he had no indication that Tucker was going to act like that. Tucker had always been, I don't want to pay for it, that kind of stuff. But he had never said, gone like, even when he had that long interview with Daryl Cooper about Epstein, he's like, it could be an intelligence. I don't know which one. I yes, you do. I hate that fake, naive stuff. I like Tucker, but he always does this, act like he does it like, dude. Yes, you do. You know. I know you know. And so, yeah, he pulled one on them. But they said they're going to have Marjorie Taylor Greene come in December, you know, and she's pretty anti-Israel now. But I think their plan was to get these people in debates and try and get them to lose. We'll never know. But, you know, it's such a risk to do that in front of a crowd at a school and all like that. Like if the Mossad just wanted to shut him up, he could just have a car accident or whatever. Like to shoot him in front of everyone and stuff, that is the kind of activity done by a nihilistic, narcissistic, weird, you know, it fits the profile of mass shooters. So again, they could radicalize a group online, that's so can the FBI. And it's really them, it's either the feds or the Israelis. I don't think Trump's feds would want to kill Charlie Kirk when he was a total Donald Trump kiss ass. Trump loved him. He did not want him gone. The Israelis would not want him gone unless it is true that he's about to turn on him. But what makes the most sense of all those theories is trannies killed him because they think they're fighting fascists.
So there's an even bigger entity getting taken over, and that's TikTok. Have you looked at the investors who are taking over TikTok? And is that going to change the narrative of what TikTok can put out?
TikTok investors.
Is Ackman in it?
It's equivalent. It's all the usual suspects. And we knew it. And David Horowitz suggested this. He's like, and Ted Cruz said the quiet part out loud too. He's like, it's not about the Chinese or any of that. It was always about, you know, anti-Israeli propaganda, meaning telling the truth. That's what that means. And they needed to shut it down. They control all the other social media. And they're like, the youth has turned against Israel because there's all these people showing what they're doing in Gaza and Lebanon and so on TikTok. And now the American branch of TikTok is completely censored. There's this young kid. I think his name was Your Favorite Guy, all one word. Y'all can try and find him if you want. I don't know his name, but that was his tag. And he would go, he'd make, you know, truthful videos about Israel. He only looks to be like 20 or something. I don't know. He said on September 13th, all his anti-Israel videos just gone. And so he's moved to Substack. And I imagine that's the case down the board of all these U.S. TikTokers that used to tell the truth about Gaza, West Bank, Yemen, whatever that, you know, Israeli crime is involved in. They've all been purged. Now, there's no rule in the new TikTok saying you're not allowed to criticize Israel, but it's the unspoken rule, kind of like YouTube and Instagram and everything else. If you criticize Israel in an effective way, you are going to lose your channel. And so all these TikTokers that lived in the U.S. are now unable to talk about that issue because Jewish billionaires bought up TikTok. And the first thing they did is censor it. So it was, you know, kosher pro-Zionist propaganda, just like all the other social media. Fortunately, though, Asia TikTok is not owned by them. So me living in South Korea, I can still say what I want. And but, you know, it is, unless you speak Korean or Japanese or something, it doesn't matter. But there are still hundreds of millions of people who are able to see videos. And of course, I wonder if you could, you'd almost have to get a phone outside the US, but if you could, then you could get the other TikTok and make your videos that way. It sucks. I don't even think you can VPN your way around it. Like, your phone number is tied to your, like, where you bought it or whatever. And they're only going to get the American TikTok. And we all saw that coming. We're like, they're going to buy TikTok and they're going to censor it for Israel. And that's exactly what happened. And on that day, you know, they didn't release Epstein files. They, you know, buy out and sanitize TikTok for Zog, for ZOM, Zionist Occupied Media. They sent another $650 million to Israel. And now they're thinking about another $6 billion with a B for Israel. Disgusting. And Marco Rubio goes on his little trip to the tunnel under Al-Aqsa Mosque, or the Dome of the Rock, with 250 state legislators, not even federal. They call it 50 states, one Israel. However, 12 states didn't send anybody. So I'm proud. North Carolina didn't. Surprisingly, New York didn't send anybody. But other states, the worst culprits, this is off the top of my head, but Florida sent 5, Virginia sent 5, Idaho sent 5. So per capita, they were the worst. Missouri, 5. Or no, Virginia was 4, but that's still a lot. California, 5, so on. Like, but Wyoming, Wisconsin, North Carolina, New York, there's 12. It's on my Substack, but they didn't send anybody. So it was not all 50 states, but it was a lot of them. You know, you had 38 states or whatever that did do it, but they sent 250 state legislators and they're planting trees. Ooh, October 7th, it happened for no reason at all. They just kill us because they're anti-Semitic, whatever, whatever. And, you know, all this just happens quietly while everyone's obsessed with Kirk and talking about Charlie Kirk. And, man, all the talk about the woman stabbed on the bus and the Epstein files and everything that people were talking about prior to Kirk's unfortunate murder have disappeared. They're off the media cycle. I don't want to let that go. Why is our Senate protecting kitty fiddlers? Why? You can't drop that issue. No matter what happens, you have to talk about Epstein. You cannot let them get away with it.
And we still are. All right, you got a lot of questions about the people around Charlie. I'll read you a few of them. Candice said and showed a video that someone filmed of a man just standing there on his phone behind the sidewall, not panicking at all. That's one question. Why were the three security people standing around Charlie? No one is mentioning they were signaling for someone to take the shot. Who was the guy in the white t-shirt in the audience left of Charlie holding his hands in a shooting stance? And you can see his arms recoil if the shot was taken.
Yeah, I've seen all these things. Listen, if somebody feet away from Charlie shot a gun, everyone would hear it and they'd tackle that person. You cannot go, it didn't have a silencer or anything. If you shoot a gun that close in a crowd, everyone will know. The hand signal thing, if you go back and look at his other talks at other colleges, it's the exact same security guards, and this is them communicating with each other. That you don't need to signal someone to take the shot. Why? He sees him, he shoots him. He doesn't need a signal from anybody. He's just going to shoot him whenever he wants to. Like, he got up, it was like on the second question. He got up to the roof. He waited for Charlie to sit down, so he had a stationary target. And he shot him. He shot him as soon as he started talking about trans stuff. you don't need anybody to be like, hey, now take the shot now. Like, he knows he's there. What do you need a signal for? That is his same security detail. And they do that stuff all the time, talking to each other. They really didn't have a lot. He only had like six people and 3,000. There was no metal detectors, no nothing. To have an event outside like that was a very stupid decision. You know how hated he is. You know how crazy these people are. You didn't have enough police. You didn't have metal detectors. You didn't have it indoors. You couldn't control who came in and out. You didn't scan the roofs, obviously. Like, one drone could have done that. Check for F on the roof. They didn't do it. A lot of bad decisions were made, and they're going to have to live with that. The guy behind him with the camera, whatever, like, people are like, oh, did he? He shoots him like this. Like, dude, if you shot, think about it. If you're right next to Charlie and you shoot him and everyone's looking at Charlie, they're going to see you do it and they're going to hear the gun. Duh. And none of that. The gun is Kyle from behind them because that's who shot him. But the internet is just going to go through every theory about anybody who has a kind of grainy hand motion and is holding anything and say, well, they have guns that look like phones. Yes, they do. This is really stupid. Like, if you have to have the Patsy in front of him with a particular caliber and stuff, then you're going to have to match that if you have some other guy shoot him. And why? If you have someone who will shoot them, you don't need another one. It's kind of ridiculous. The only one that has any merit is the guy, the old man, Zen, who's saying he did it, who didn't have a weapon on him and then got busted for kitty fiddling. That guy seems to be someone who hated Charlie Kirk, who, when he was shot, made a diversion to help the shooter get away. Now, was that a plan? Could have been. Or did he do that just because he hated Charlie and he was taking advantage of the moment? Also could be. They need to interrogate that guy and find out. He's in prison anyway. There were people in the crowd celebrating because a lot of people went there who hated him, who wanted to argue with him and were happy that he got shot. These are sick people. I didn't like Charlie Kirk for his Zionism, but I can separate someone's political views from their humanity. I'm good friends with David Cole and he's a Zionist and I am not at all. But, you know, we can be friends about other stuff. Your politics is not who you are. It's just something you believe. And I adamantly disagree with Zionism, like almost more than anybody in the world, but I'm not going to justify shooting somebody over a political view. I mean, people have very strong views about abortion, but you don't just shoot people who believe you can have them. Like, you're killing babies. We're like, well, obviously they don't think they are killing babies. Like, you can disagree, but you don't just start murdering people over that. And people have, they bombed abortion clinics and stuff. Like, well, now you're murdering someone. Like, but in their mind, like, well, I'm murdering someone that's murdering someone. Like, you got to address these things through dialogue. You cannot just start having tit for tat assassinations on the left and right because you don't know how to talk to each other. It's really, really disgusting. And I don't know why they have to invent all this extra stuff. Like, they had a motive. They got his prints. They got a guy, at least a guy, on the roof with a gun. He has a confession letter. It's like, there's a lot of evidence. Like, it's Tyler. There, you don't need another person. And then you still have to have, like, why would he be up there at all? And his own family turned him in. And now you're going to have, eventually the pathologist is going to have to produce a bullet or something. You're going to have to get Charlie's own family to go along with it. It's just way easier to radicalize somebody and have them shoot him. You don't need spotters. You don't need people with super neato weapons in the crowd. You don't need robot guns. You don't need all that. You got a guy in the roof to shoot him. It's that simple. The real question is, how much did he act on his own? Did he have a network? There's very strong evidence that he did. And then you can start asking, was he radicalized by the FBI or the Israelis or someone else? But you base that on evidence, not I hate Israel, thus they did it. You know, like, I hate Israel too. I don't really like the FBI either. But unless there's evidence, you can't just start making things up.
Aren't you suspicious about Netanyahu's speeches?
Yeah.
Kind of like co-opting Charlie's mission so rapidly? Because IB's asking who's benefiting the most from it. And it seems like Netanyahu's trying to benefit from it.
He tried to blame it on Islamists. like he got on, you know, before the corpse was cold, and tried to act like, oh, Charlie and I were great friends, da 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 da, and that, you know, probably some radical Islamist did it, and it was not the, he's not an Islamist at all. It had nothing to do with religion. It was a radical leftist. But we, like I said at the beginning of this talk, everyone did that. The right blamed the left, even if it was the left, they blamed him with no evidence. The left blamed the right. Like, oh, he was a MAGA supporting Christian from Utah. Well, his family was, he wasn't. And they're still saying that. Jimmy Kimmel was still saying that. They'll do anything to not act like it was one of theirs. It wasn't one of theirs. They're going to lie. They're going to lie forever. Every faction and the anti-gun people were like, well, this isn't, you know, Charlie was pro-gun. Then he got shot with a gun. Serves him right. Second Amendment, my ass, blah, blah, blah. They all utilize a tragic event to go after their political enemies. And it, and evidence be damned. Now, one of those is going to be, happen to be right, but they were saying it without any evidence. So you wait and get the evidence and you find a shooter and it turns out, yeah, he's a leftist with tranny boyfriends and da da da. Okay, now you can say that. You can say, I bet it's probably one of this, but you can't say it is this until there's evidence. You can say, I think it's this. It matches a pattern and you can give your reasons and stuff. I thought it was that. It turned out to be that. But I'm not going to write that online. I'm going to wait and say, let's figure out the evidence. It looks like he has to be from above. I knew that right away because you can't shoot through a crowd. There's too many people in the way. It's no one in the front row. They would get caught immediately. So the only people who could shoot him have to have an elevated position because otherwise it's impossible to hit him. So the most likely place to have an elevated position is on a roof. This is just all deductive reasoning. So I said for them right away, like somebody shot him from an elevated position, most likely a roof, most likely along a rifle. And I didn't know whether it was bolt action or what, because that you can't really deduce that. But some type of rifle from an elevated position, and they shot Charlie Kirk. So that's what you need to make a parameter, create a dragnet, and catch people coming off roofs. Get every camera that of any wall, because they got to get down from the roof. So anybody going down the stairs or jumping off a wall, if you get that film, you'll get the killer. And that's what happened. They had film of him jumping down from the wall. So you catch the guy. You can deduce what it has to be based on logic, but you cannot know the motives of the killer or anything. Just someone who hates Charlie Kirk, obviously, or benefits from his death, obviously. But in America, sometimes people shoot people just for the infamy of it. They don't even know them or anything. So even that's not 100%. But you go through and you find them. And then as you get more and more information, then you can start getting into motive. He's going to be interrogated. He's sticking to his story that he did it all by himself and not going to incriminate his lover or anything. But why were there so many posts online saying, wait till tomorrow, something big's going to happen? Like a lot of people knew this was going down. And they need to find all those accounts and round up all those people and get the co-conspirators. I think at minimal, this was a Antifa or Trantifa thing. Then we're going to have to know, was there anyone in your group who you never met? It was just always on Discord or whatever you communicated. Because that's your three-letter guy. That's your spook. And in the case, like in the Buffalo shooting, that was the case. There were feds in the Discord that radicalized that kid to go do that. So we've seen that before. And this is interesting. Discord said they didn't use Discord to communicate. Of course, the head of trust and safety at Discord is a trainee himself. And it turned out, no, they did use Discord to communicate. And isn't that something? I'm not allowed on Discord. But these people that murder other people are allowed on there.
Wow. All right, Ryan.
I bet he had a PayPal account too. Like, oh, they're allowed, but I'm not. I say don't shoot children. So what a meanie I am.
You've been very generous with your time as usual. We've done 90 minutes. You've answered most of the questions. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers?
Don't get mad at me if I shot down your pet theory. I understand being gaslit. I understand not trusting authority, but like you can go too far that direction where you just don't believe anything. You got red pilled too fast. Let's stick with the evidence. Wait for the pathologist report. That's going to answer a lot of questions. You're going to have to get that bullet. then the more evidence and information you have, then you can have dogmatic theories and be so confident. I think this, I think that. He was not wearing body armor. He was not shot from behind. There's no entry wound on the back. There are no NATO weapons. Most evidence fits the shooter. The real questions are, who are the co-conspirators at this point? And I do not believe in censorship. Charlie Kirk was there to have dialogue with the other side. Don't let his death be used to go after canceling people. We need to stop canceling the right. We don't need to cancel the left. We should not be canceling anyone. Free speech solves all this.
Yeah, that was a point David Icke made as well. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Huge thank you for coming on. I will let you go and I will close the show. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. What a phenomenal guest, folks. Hope you enjoyed that. And thank you for all of your questions. And, you know, Ryan doesn't ask people to send him money, but he does have his store. And you can donate to him by buying stuff and getting stuff. And I'll put the link in the chat right now. He's got real cool gear in there. Like I said, we bought some of the clothes for Baby Ziggy, the Ryan Dawson University stuff. And he's got a lot of cool other stuff. Or you can go over on X. If you didn't answer your question, follow him on X. Send him a question on X. And then we've got another stream today. Ron is going to come on with the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service special at 6:30 p.m. And if you missed Tim Cohen last night talking about King Charles, the Antichrist, and Jimmy Savile, another one not to have missed. And this video will take you right to it now when I finish it. If you missed it, it was really intense and informative. But thank you for tuning in, everyone. Hope to see some of you in the next one. Cheerio.
Hi there. My name is Annie Elise, a.k.a. your true crime BFF and host of the podcast Serialistly. I have been a true crime enthusiast forever, but I wished somebody would break down the cases for me like a friend, giving all the details and discussing every twist and turn. So I decided to create a podcast that does just that. Serialistly with Annie Elise is topping the charts with over 1 million weekly downloads. I do the deep dives in these cases so you don't have to, diving into all the raw details, saying what we're all thinking, and in a conversational way, just like having a conversation with your best friend. So join me and let's talk all things true crime. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.